This podcast is a quest for well-being, a quest for a meaningful life through the exploration of fundamental truth. Enlightening ideas, insights on physical, mental, and spiritual health. The inspiration is love. The aspiration is to awaken new ways of thinking that can lead us to a new way of being. Being well. Welcome to Body, Mind, and Soul Healing Conversations.
When it feels like something's missing, if it hurts but you can't find healing, just look up. Know you are loved. Just look up. Know you are loved. You don't have to prove yourself. Don't try to be someone else. You don't have to prove yourself. Don't try to be someone else. You are loved. Partial lyrics to the song by Stars Go Dim. Valeria interviews Linda Bjork. She is the author of Crushed, A Journey Through Depression. You Got This, an action plan to calm worry, fear, anxiety, and stress, and many other titles. Linda Bjork is the founder and executive director of Hope for Healing nonprofit charity and owner of Innovative Joy, LLC. She has degrees from Brigham Young University and the University of the State of New York. She has written several nonfiction books. Her podcast, Linda's Corner, and blog, Two Good Things, were created to inspire hope, increase joy, and motivate positive change. Linda's personal mission is to empower people to become their best selves. Linda defines herself as an overcomer. She has overcome depression, social anxiety, and trauma. She has overcome self-limiting beliefs, self-sabotage, low self-confidence, low self-esteem, and more. For decades, Linda felt like an imposter, masquerading as someone worth loving and accepting when she knew that she wasn't really good enough. She now lives a joyful, authentic, fulfilling life. Linda is passionate about hope, healing, and personal transformation because she has lived it. She created Hope for Healing nonprofit to help empower others to overcome as well. She has interviewed hundreds of experts and overcomers on Linda's Corner podcast so we can help even more people overcome every kind of adversity and life challenge. Meet Linda at hopeforhealingfoundation.org. Here's the interview with Linda Bjork.
In your own words, who is Linda Bjork?
I am an overcomer. I have overcome depression, anxiety, trauma, low self-esteem, feeling like I'm not good enough, self-limiting beliefs, self-sabotage, and more. And I am also someone who helps other people to be able to overcome their challenges. I am the founder of Hope for Healing nonprofit so that I can share and help other people. And I'm also a podcast host, like yourself. My podcast is called Linda's Corner. So I've interviewed hundreds of experts and overcomers to be able to help and reach even more people.
That's wonderful. Yes, I have on my notes here. So I'll have that on the podcast notes, your podcast link and your books and your website. But before all the technicalities, those are technical notes. I love the idea that we can define ourselves beyond what is already there, almost as a box. So I try not to kind of label myself in any way, but I know we have to use words. And I remember when I read on your website this part of your bio that says, I am an overcomer. That caught my attention because a lot of times I hear I am a survivor, I am a thriver. There's so many ways that people define themselves. I love to believe that I'm just here experiencing this, however it presents itself. I guess it feels more real to me. It's kind of funny because for a lot of people, it feels abstract to say, oh, I'm just here. I'm just life itself. I don't have a life. I am life. So that sounds abstract for most people, but not for me. For some reason, it feels much more authentic and real.
That's
I don't
beautiful.
Know, Linda, how it feels to you, but how does it sound?
To just say, I am?
Yes.
And I am here?
I'm yes. here. Yes.
Absolutely. And that reminds me of a friend who described the difference between self-esteem and self-worth. Mm-hmm. And self-esteem is kind of like what you're describing, where it's like we're describing ourselves with words, like I am a professional, this or that or the other, or these are my talents, these are my skills, this is what I bring to the table. I know that I have value because I have a great to-do list. Mm-hmm. Whereas self-love is just, I know that I have value when I am doing nothing. And so as mm-hmm. you describe that you'd like mm-hmm. to describe yourself just as, mm-hmm. I am here, I am, it sounds very much mm-hmm. like you have reached that level of self-love. And that's a beautiful thing.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. A billion times that. I think it was the first step. No, I would say the first step was acceptance, though. Going through trauma, try to accept the past and everything that had happened. And then self-love. Then at some point, I guess the self dissolves and there's just love. You just see everything as love, as God. And I think that's the most powerful way to navigate this reality, when we realize that everything is happening in God, or everything, not that everything is God, but everything's happening in God. It's almost like being a cell in the body. So we see the body, this is the, you know, which we call the human being, but the cells, they make us. We are made of tiny, tiny particles, you know, these substances. So actually, if we go deeper scientifically, we cannot even name it. What is in a cell, and then what makes a cell a cell? And then we can't find a name for if we keep going deeper and deeper. There's almost, we can't find anything there, actually. So I don't know, Linda, that's how I see it. I know that sounds a little bit off topic, but you just inspired me to say that. So thank you for your presence.
Wonderful. I'm sure there's someone listening that was exactly what they needed to hear.
You never know, right? So let me ask you a more, let's say, relatable question. Why do we suffer? What's the cause of human suffering?
Wow, what a deep question. I would say human suffering is multi-leveled. One is what happens to us, and the second part is how we respond. We have things that happen to us that are very painful and hurtful that maybe we have no control over. We didn't ask for it. It just is part of our experience. And yet, even though these things happen, we can either let it flow through us or we can hold on to it. And we can even magnify it and make it bigger so that suffering that we went through once, we can continue to experience every day. So it is a multi-leveled thing that we have some power over our experience of suffering.
Yes. And you said we have some. That means we don't have total control of what makes us suffer. My Linda.
No. Our experiences are, they happen.
Yes. 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 And that's the reason it's so important to work or kind of shift our perspective when it comes to the idea of peace, of love, some sort of a destination for those things, joy and all those beautiful ways of being. And like I said before, I love the idea of being open to life itself because everything is possible when it comes to experience. So being open really, really helps. It has been my case with suffering. It just lessens the suffering so much more. Being able to instantly accept what's happening and then kind of letting that acceptance kind of show the options, what is possible, what can I do or see here instead of reacting to what's happening and what is happening and being taken over by it, which I see a lot. It happens a lot to so many of us.
What's beautiful, what you have described is the essence of resilience. of being able to bounce back, to be able to have it flow through. And I also loved your comment that the destination is a way of being. I thought that was a beautiful description.
Yes, right. Oh, I love that too. I mean, when you say it, it's almost like I'm listening for the first time. It's interesting. It sounds fresh to me. Did I say that? Because it seems like you're saying that. So I don't know who is saying it. Like, again, I just feel like life is just doing its work. So what is the goal of healing, Linda?
You know, I think you just described it in that comment, that the destination is a way of being, that healing is being in a state of that love, joy, peace, and living, just being. I think when we can get to that place, we are healed, we are whole.
Wow. Yes. So in a way, there is a placeless place that's called wholeness, right, Linda? It's not a tangible place because we can't really describe it as a place, but it is a way of being. I love the way you said that too. You just repeat it now. It's finding that there is a placeless place that is perfect, that is complete, limitless, infinite. And that's almost a description of for God, isn't it? And that's my next question to you. What is your idea of spirituality? What is spirituality to you? Because that's how I see, if I am to describe God or wholeness, they would be one and the same. So what is your definition for spirituality and God?
That's an excellent question. I think some people believe that we are physical beings that have occasional spiritual experiences. I believe, on the other side, that we are spiritual beings who are having a mortal experience. And the purpose of this mortal experience is precisely that. It is to gain experience. It is to learn. It is to grow. It is to progress. But my spirit existed before I was born, and it will continue to exist after I die. I am.
Yes. Oh, that. What's not to love about that truth? Yes. Infinite. Yes. So I guess the question that comes to me, you know, I keep asking myself the same question. Why something that is complete, that is infinite, limitless, all powerful, that could do anything or be anything, why is it here having ordinary experiences, going through suffering, you know, where in the body, I mean, think about it. It needs constant maintenance. It's so demanding. So in the mind too, so the body mind, so much work. So yeah, I don't know. That's the question that I keep asking myself. Why does it have to exist in this way?
I think that's a very good question. And I'm not sure that we know all of the answers. But the thought that comes to my mind is, if I read a book and I become an expert in a topic only by reading and not by experiencing, I'm not a real expert. It is our experience that changes us. It is our experience that takes these lessons, not just to our mind, but to our soul and our whole body. So we go through things and we have opportunities to learn, to grow, to progress, to pay it forward, that we could not do in any other way.
That's a very good point. So this is the only way to experience, period, anything. I don't know about, the idea of learning, experience to learn something, and then perhaps come back here in a new body and pass that wisdom on, or who knows, realize the truth in this lifetime, and then help lots of people to suffer less. For some reason, it doesn't resonate with the core of my being. It really doesn't. It implies that there is always somewhere to go, somewhere to get, that there is there are so much problems, and we are separate, that we are all living these separate lives away from God. We're separate from God. And I guess that's the only thing that it doesn't resonate with me, because from my understanding and realization is that everything is in God. and if everything, not that everything is God, because the mind, body, they are not God. They are finite and limited. But they are happening, appearing, being experienced by God. So that's almost, to me, Linda, that's fulfillment in itself. If it's almost like God experiencing itself. So that's enough. What's not? I mean, that sounds like incredible, because God, it's something that's a spirit, which is not experience. It's not human. It's not human. Then it's having a human experience, as you said, and so many people say. So that resonates with me. Even if it makes sense to the mind, which is kind of strange, because you know, the logical mind would never understand that. Most people wouldn't. But it really feels that way. God experiencing itself right now here through this experience. And this is already enough. There's no destination, nowhere to go, really nothing to do. But just as you said beautifully, just be at peace and be joyful. I mean, that alone gives you that sense of completeness, of joy, of that's it. What else is there? I don't know if that makes sense to you. It does somehow.
And to me, part of feeling whole, part of feeling fulfilled is progression. So I am, and I am at joy, and I am at peace right here and right now. But I also feel such joy and fulfillment as I grow, as I develop, as I improve, as I pay it forward. I think it is that kind of a paradox of that holding still, where everything is enough right now, and I am working towards something.
Yes. Interesting that you say it that way. Yeah, working towards something. I would say experiencing something. These things are just appearing to me. Like it's almost like you, your voice, and what's happening now. It's a beautiful happening experience. So it's not really something that I have worked to get here, although it feels like that for the body mind, but not for the spirit though. It doesn't, there's no effort really. It's just here. It's just so complete that it doesn't need past or future. It's always here. As you said, that stillness, but it's always here. I'll move on from this topic. This is another conversation, right, Linda? It seems like we have to meet again for another topic with this
sure.
one. So talk to me about, you are a beautiful writer. So you have so many books. The ones that we'll mention today for this conversation is Crushed, A Journey Through Depression. And the second one is You Got This, An Action Plan to Calm Worry, Fear, Anxiety, and Stress. So talk to me about not just the purpose of writing these two books, but what is the main intention for doing what you do? And what was the inspiration to be doing this?
Thank you. That's a lovely question. So my purpose is to pay it forward. And the analogy that I use is, if you've ever felt stuck, like if you can imagine being in a deep, dark pit with no windows and no doors and no way out, and you feel trapped, and having someone lower a ladder down into that hole and showing you how to climb out. That is the purpose of what I do, because I myself have been in a deep, dark pit and I didn't see any way out. And if someone had not offered me a ladder, I would be there still.
It's sad, isn't it, that we go through these, you call dark moments, moments of darkness, has been my case too, within the body mind. Yes. Do you feel that we have a choice when it comes to this level of suffering? Because I know there are levels to suffering. So some of us have suffered so much. Is this something that we have chosen as well, in a way? Some people believe that we as a soul have chosen to come back here and learn specific lessons. And that's why we go through dark moments. How do you feel about choice when it comes to suffering?
Well, I believe, as I mentioned earlier, there are things that happen to us that we did not choose, at least not in this lifetime. If you want to imply that we made a choice earlier, that may be, but I don't remember it.
Yeah.
But we do have a choice here and now to grow that suffering or to heal from that suffering, to run that suffering over and over and over again, and then to add more suffering to it. And that is a natural response where it creates a spiral of despair, where we just continue to go down. And it can feel like if you were at the beach and a wave picked you up and just smashed you on the ground, or picked you up and rolled you over and over and over again, versus someone who is on top of the wave, just riding it. The wave is there, but it's where we are in relation to that wave that creates the suffering or the flow.
Yes, I love this metaphor. It really helps the mind to understand. So being riding the wave, right, rather than being dragged by it. Yes, that's a very good point. And I think there is something to do with knowing the truth, which for me is that we are complete, whole, infinite, that we are spirits. We are non-human. To me, that really changes everything, Linda. And it doesn't at the same time. I know you mentioned the paradox. So it changes and it doesn't, because you're still in the body, in a limited body. You know you're unlimited, but you're still experiencing limitations. But something happens within the perception of, you know, through the body mind, that changes. And then now you don't really, because you know what you are, not even who you are, then it's easier to kind of ride that wave. It's just easier to just, it's almost like you become an instant great surfer and you can do that all the time, no problem. It feels that Absolutely. Way, doesn't it?
Our perspective and our awareness makes all the difference. Where if you're looking at just the analogy we often use is the forest and the trees. If I see one tree in front of me and that's all I see, that's all my awareness is, then I don't get the beauty of the whole picture. And when we have that whole picture, then our place in it feels so much better.
Yes, yes, another billion times to that truth, right? Of being able to see the big picture, yes. And I wonder why so many of us are not able to. They reject, they escape this, let's say this perspective, you know, to me, I call it perception, but this way of seeing life, I have seen within my own family and friends that they are almost afraid of the truth. What if life is so much more than what I am experiencing and seeing, you know, through the body mind? What if I'm not the body mind? So some people, they cannot even hear that, because, you know, I host this podcast for a reason, because here we can have this conversation. We can just dance around this beautiful topic, in my opinion. But not with the people around me, not most people. Have you wondered why we reject this big picture of life, of seeing it?
That's such an excellent question. I think it's very easy to get distracted by what we see with our physical eyes, what we are experiencing with this physical body, and it can become overwhelming. And if we are not open to something more, then we can only work with what we are open to. So as you mentioned at the beginning, it's our openness that makes such a difference to our understanding as well as our experience.
Oh my God. Yes, Linda. Yes. Another billion times. I keep saying that. What's not to love? Yes, 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 yes. So I would love for you, let me see, I made a lot of notes here. I would love for us to talk about some sections here in your book, Crushed, A Journey Through Depression. You know what caught my attention the most? I'm not linear in any way, so I'm very bad at reading anything in the sense of one in order. So I'm always skipping and looking for things that I'm interested in. Something in me kind of wakes up. So there is a song that you mentioned by Stars Go Dim, You Are Loved. That was just so beautiful. So I have that as part of the introduction for this podcast because it was so, I mean, it just resonated so true to me, especially the end when it says, when it feels like something's missing, if it hurts, but you cannot find healing, just look up. Know you are loved. Just look up. Know you are loved. So this is just part of the lyrics, but everything else is beautiful too. So talk to me about adding the lyrics for this song in your book. I know I have an idea because I read what the context of it, but I would love for you to actually read the lyrics of that song and then tell us why you chose to add that song to the book.
Excellent. Well, how about, I don't have the copy right in front of me. So if you've got it, I may have to have you read it. But I'll tell you why I included that. And that is that I, like many other people, have felt unloved and unlovable. And my story began, I was fortunately raised by wonderful parents, but when I was about 6 years old, my parents endured an emotional trauma that overwhelmed them and shut them down. And because of the nature of the trauma, I was a trigger, especially to my mother. And so suddenly I was avoided, unwanted, I felt unloved, I felt rejected. And if I was an adult looking at the situation, I might feel compassion for my parents that, wow, you're going through something hard and you're hurting. But I was a child and I did not understand. All I knew was that something had changed and I thought it was all my fault. I must have done something wrong. I must be bad. I am unlovable. And my parents, who are wonderful, but the message I got was, even the most wonderful people in the world can't love you. You are that bad. You are that unlovable. You are that low. You should be that ashamed. And it affected me to my soul. And as we grow and we feel that way, that I am unlovable, it affects our experience. It affects our reality. And learning and recognizing our own worth and our own value, and that we are, in fact, worthy and deserving of love, is really a very important part of healing. And learning how to love ourselves and to give and receive love. I was good at giving love. Receiving, not so much, because I knew, put some little air quotes around that I was not worthy. So hearing a message in a song that says you are loved, and the source of that love is not just the people around us, but it is to look up and to feel that divine love that flows through each and every one of us, that can build us and fill us and complete us and make us feel whole rather than empty. And that is a very important message to share with everyone.
Mm. Yes. Wow. It's a beautiful and true one. Yes. That's the reason why we are talking about that song. That has to do with your own experience, my own experience, and so many other human beings. Right. That's interesting. How long it takes for us to realize something that seems so simple, right, Linda? That's right here. It's always here. It's a truth that never left us. But what gets in the way are the traumas, right? There's so much lies, per se, in that covers the truth. So we need to work with healing. That's what healing does. So it really is, for me, has been healing work. That's why I'm very open, because I know there are layers to healing and we are always finding something new. It's interesting to see, even though I have found that to be my ground, my foundation, my essence, that I'm loved already. Although I don't use those words for some reason, it resonates true to me. But there's something about freedom. So because I relate to this reality as life itself, Yeah, that's how I would describe love. It's free. It's freedom itself. It's everywhere. It's just the most amazing thing. So it's not only about loving what seems to be perfect, but all the imperfections, everything is included when it comes to that. And that's why divine love feels so real. If anyone wants to listen to see the lyrics and that, I don't have the section here. I think it was the end. Yes, at the end of your book, Crushed, A Journey Through Depression. And the link to Amazon will be here too in your website. Yes, I had something else to say about being this idea of being loved. Oh, yes, Linda. So even though you have this realization, you have this as your essence too, it doesn't really, let's say, remove sometimes feeling out of sync with that truth. Maybe what I'm trying to say, because some people might believe that this is a destination again, is a place that you get to and you stay. To me, we have been always there. We never left the destination. The only place, the journey and the destination is one. So I'm just wondering if you can elaborate a bit more on this understanding of perfection. There's no perfection. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to deal with emotions that come from residues of trauma and all that. There's nothing wrong with that. So yeah, I would love for you to give your opinion and your wisdom on that. Talk to me about this idea of perfection.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the idea of perfection, and you actually alluded to what I think is the perfect description, and that many people feel that perfection is a destination. So if you imagine a circle and you have to get into that circle, and you must never step out of that circle, because if I step out of that circle, I made a mistake, I'm not perfect anymore, and now I'm a failure. And that place, that idea of thinking that it's a place that we have to come to and hold still, it stymies any possible progression because we can't move. We have to hold still. And it's a place of, instead of being a place of movement and growth and life and beauty, it almost becomes a place of decay and death. Just that holding still, you're desiring that perfection is so unhealthy.
Yes, it sounds to me that way. Exactly. It really, really does. So asking that question more directly, do you still experience sadness, moments of, I wouldn't say depression, but sadness or melancholy? That's my case. Sometimes I feel this longing to experience with the body, mind, to experience more of that, this wholeness, you know, the reflection of what I know to be true. There's a longing for that. And that causes sadness when I hear about, I don't watch TV or anything or read anything about the news, but my husband talks to me about that, those things, and friends too, the wars that are happening now. So instantly I have this feeling of sadness as if something's wrong. Like it's almost like I have left that place. But I feel like it's just the body mind doing what it does too. It's moving, dancing with emotions. Is that something that you can relate to?
Boy, I love that you brought up that we have this complex experience of emotions, and that is a good thing. It is a beautiful thing. And if we were just, I would say maybe happy all the time, which is a beautiful place to be, but if we didn't have the other experiences, if we did not have those other emotions, if we did not have that, we would be so shallow. There wouldn't be the depth of the experience, the richness, there's just so much more to us. I don't know about you, but when I meet someone who has been through something, there's happiness, there's joy, there's peace, but there's also that richness and depth of experience, that you know that they have gone through hard things. They've experienced sadness. They've experienced all of these, what we would consider maybe negative emotions, but allowing those to affect us and flow through us, and then to be able to become another person on the other side. We have empathy. We have compassion. We have wisdom. We have, it would be sad to miss that. We would not be as a complete person without it.
Yes, right. That's what really the human experience seems to be all about. Feelings, right? Emotions, feelings. Yeah, I remember talking to somebody here about setting boundaries, saying no when we really mean to say no. And I remember saying that to her, somebody, I don't remember who it was. No, I have a hard time saying no. That was like a few years ago. And then when I say no to something that I really mean to say no, I feel bad about it. You know, I feel guilty that I said no. So what am I going to do? Because this is, we are so healthy, and to be healthy, we need to be true to ourselves and communicate our truth in a kind way, which is my way, to people that we care about, because that's how we transmit authenticity in what is really, what it means to be a human. And then she said, there's nothing wrong with feeling guilty, saying no and feeling guilty. And she said, unless you were a psychopath, then you wouldn't have any feelings. So you don't want to be in that category. I don't think that would be helpful.
Nope, I don't think that's helpful.
Yeah, it helped me to understand that, Linda. It really did. You know, like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm not a psychopath. Good. So that makes sense. I don't know. Does it make sense to you what she said? It did to me at the time. And it still resonates to this day.
And it gives permission to feel your feelings. It's very hard when someone says, oh, you shouldn't feel that way. And it has that word should in it, which is kind of a painful word a lot of times. It is okay to feel our feelings. But again, I would recommend, I'm not going to say you should, allow it to flow through you and let it go. And usually guilt has a purpose, and it is to make us aware of something. And it might be that there's an imbalance and something that's out of harmony, maybe something that we need to work through ourselves, or maybe a change. It might be a change in behavior, but it also might be a change in perception. For example, one reason that we feel guilty or we worry is if we take responsibility for other people's problems, when the person that we really have control over is us. For the others, we are support, we are a cheerleader, but we are not responsible for even their happiness or their experience.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah, I needed to hear that. The body mind for sure. Yeah, I still kind of have, it's interesting to hear that guilty has to do with something that it's out of balance, right? Still, I'm trying to, that makes sense with so much my childhood traumas, yet the abuse and all that. That makes so much sense. I feel responsible for my husband when I say no to him. And when he's angry, upset, then I feel responsible for that too. And you're right, we are not responsible for we're not responsible for other people's emotions. And I know that I do everything that I can to be truthful and kind at the same time. So I know that's something that I'm always working on, words and how I say things, so not to hurt others. Yes, I have to kind of do some homework there still. When we think we are somehow healed, have to think again. There's always something there. It's interesting.
And isn't that wonderful? We mentioned that before, how that opportunity for progress gives us purpose, it gives us direction, and it gives us fulfillment. So here you say, hey, I just became aware of something. And instead of feeling like, oh man, I'm not there yet, it could be exciting, like, wow, look, I have something to work toward.
Yes. Yes, Linda. How beautiful. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it is my perspective. Yeah, it becomes playful at some point. Now in the middle of the feeling, but after or before, like not with this conversation here, it just becomes playful, this idea of walking towards something. And I think it feels playful for that reason too, because I have realized that it's just an experience. So why not? It's almost like living, being in a dream and knowing that you're dreaming. So now, what can I play with here? Since this is a dream anyway. It feels that way. I know it might sound funny, but it really feels that way to me.
I think actually that's a pretty good analogy. As you described our experience of being one and of being spiritual beings with this physical body, it is kind of like being in a dream and recognizing we're in a dream.
Yes. Another billion times that truth too, that playful truth. So thank you for being open to that too. I know I have conversations with mostly non-duality. I'm a student of Vedanta. It's a Hindu spiritual philosophy that's non-dual. So it's one reality. God is the only reality. There's no two. More love. Only love exists. So from that, let's play. So let's see. Oh, before we're almost at the end, but I wanted to, since we are talking about emotions too, this is a good time, Linda. Your other book, You Got This, An Action Plan to Calm Worry, Fear, Anxiety, and Stress. It feels very much like a journal going through the pages, but the section that caught my attention is titled Emotional First Aid Kit. So you list all the ways we can help ourselves. I mean, I love the first one. Sing a song three times. Sing along, go sing a song. That was just like, it opens the heart immediately. It put a smile on my face. So talk to me about some of them. I have lots of them here. I don't even know how many. But that one's a beautiful one. I didn't read the 5-second rule, so I'd love to hear. It made me curious, so I'd love to hear about that one too. And there's another one you say that the 2-minute distraction. Those, can you talk to me about them for a moment?
Yes, absolutely. So let me kind of give a little bit of background about what this emotional first aid kit is. So our emotions are chemical, and there's a reason why we feel the way that we do. And the way that we feel affects what we do, say, and think. But the good news is that what we do, say, and think affects our body chemistry. And that gives us a point of power. So if we are struggling with something like fear or anxiety or worry or stress, there's something that we can do about it. And we can literally change the chemistry and the physiology of our bodies to lower our stress and to increase the feel-good chemicals so that we feel better. And knowing that there's something that we can do about it, it just empowers us. So you listed a couple of the tools and things that we can use. And the first one you mentioned is to sing a song. So music is one of the most powerful tools that we have to affect the way that we feel. And researchers have found that our brain waves actually synchronize somewhat to the beat of the music. And so it literally can help put us into a better place. Also, if you're struggling with depression and anxiety, singing has been shown to help alleviate depression and anxiety. In one study, they took a group of people who were struggling with depression and anxiety and divided it into two groups. They had a control group and said, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. They had a study group where they said, we want you to sing. Just sing a song every day. 30 days later, they came back to see if it made any difference. The control group was the same as they were before. The study group, those who had sung, had significantly lower levels of depression and anxiety. It changes our body. It decreases the stress chemicals. It increases the feel-good chemicals, and it changes the way that we feel. So if we're having a really bad day, having a hard time, if we sing a song, it can put us in a better place instantly. And if you're in a really bad place, then you might need to sing a song a few times. Another one you mentioned was the 5-second rule. And this is a tool that we can use to help us if we're struggling with motivation. Like, oh, I got to make that phone call and I am dreading it. So how do I get myself to do something that I don't want to do? The 5-second rule is to count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. and then you just do it. When we do that, it helps to distract us. It helps us not to let our mind get in the way and come up with all the reasons why we shouldn't do it, all the things that could go wrong. And it helps us to be able to act. The other one that you mentioned was a 2-minute distraction. So sometimes we can get caught in cycles of negative thinking, like they call it rumination, where you have a thought and it just goes over and over again. And we can stay in that place indefinitely. And research shows that if we can change our mental channel for 2 minutes, it's enough to disrupt that loop so that we can think about other things. So the distraction can be whatever makes you feel happy. Maybe to take a walk, to look at some beautiful pictures in nature, or to talk with a friend, or to laugh, or to sing, or to dance. Just something to get out of that loop.
Yes. Oh my God. It's so helpful, everything that you're saying here. And there are so many others that I connect with. Take a walk, connect with nature. Meditation, of course. Pet a dog. That one. Yeah, I have a dog. So every time I pet him, he feels so good. And I wonder why too, Linda, what's the research about this? Petting an animal feels incredibly good to the body and mind.
Isn't that amazing? And if you've had your own experience, you can say, wow, it really does work. And the research shows that it doesn't just work for you. It works for everyone. There's something very calming about stopping and just petting a dog or a cat. And this is very helpful for people who are struggling with social anxiety, where being around other people feels frightening. People feel dangerous. And we have to have connection. Like you've mentioned before, we're not alone. We are all one. And we need connection. We crave it. It's like air to breathe and water to drink. We need connection. And animals can help fill that role when you're in a place where you're not ready to people today.
Yes. It feels very natural, really does. The word's natural for that reason, because essentially we are all connected. The substance, the ground is one, the fundamental ground. So yeah, it feels very natural. But then because of our traumas, has been my case too, social anxiety will set in. There's still, because the body holds a lot of those, information, right, Linda? Yeah, it's holding on to them, to those traumas still. It's a wonderful thing to talk to you today and just see and be in touch with what you're doing. It's so beautiful. That's what we need more in this reality, in this shared reality, in this dreamlike reality, to help one another, to see what is possible, to see the options, because there are so many. Thank you so much for what you do and for being you, Linda. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Valeria. I appreciate you.
So we're almost at the end of our wonderful conversation today, but I do have one question that I usually ask everyone to end our conversation. I'll ask you this one. But before that, would you like to add anything, Linda, that you left unsaid, or read a passage in one of your books?
Oh, thank you. I would invite your listeners to come visit the website of Hope for Healing at hopeforhealingfoundation.org for free resources to help people be able to overcome their challenges, to be happy, to live joyful, fulfilled lives. There is so much available for us if we'll just reach out and grab it.
Yes. It's just so beautiful. And that's it's a reflection of that truth that you are so connected, aware, you have realized the truth of oneness, in the sense not of body minds, but of fundamental truth that everything is connected. That it really feels that way, talking to you through the work you do, it really feels that way. So thank you again for reflecting the truth back to yourself and others. So my last question, I'll have the website there, hopeforhealingfoundation.org, and the link to your books as well. But I'll ask you this question here. At this time, what is the world's greatest need?
I think it's love. I think it's love for ourselves. I think it's love for other people. It's a simple one-word solution that's easier said than done a lot of times. But I really think that's the answer.
Yes, and it is. Yeah, absolutely is. Yes. Thank you for the reminder again. We all need to be reminded of that. And I love the way you said that too. That's very simple. And it is so simple that we miss it, right? We dismiss it. We ignore it in a way. Thank you so much again for your presence. And we'll talk again. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Linda Bjork and her work, please visit hopeforhealingfoundation.org.
To learn more about this podcast, please visit fitforjoy.org/podcast. Thank you again for listening, and bye for now.